With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, Wayne Lou, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors shocked the Los Angeles Lakers by a score of 121-114. I know the Lakers haven't been playing well. I just saw them lose to literally Terrence Davis and the Kings, so you know that's a real problem when that happens. But god damn, I didn't expect this. I did not expect this, and I take back a lot of what I said. I really do. I thought the Lakers were going to be a tough matchup. The Lakers played the Raptors really well. The Raptors went to Tampa. That game was close at the end, but realistically was never in jeopardy. It was one of those fake comebacks. And I just thought, you know, the Lakers have all this size and the Raptors are like garbage on the second night of back-to-backs. They were like 3-12 up to this point. Obviously the Raptors play a lot through the post. It's going to be hard to post these guys, and there was not any posting up, quite honestly, from the Raptors. LeBron and AD are pretty good, and they're reigning champions. But what do I know? Apparently I know nothing, because the Raptors came out and stunned the Lakers with a sensational performance from Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam, who, my goodness, man, combining for 76 points. I haven't seen two Raptors combine for 76 points since Game 1 against the Sixers. If you remember that game, Kawhi had 45, Pascal had the 30? Something like that? Yeah, it was ridiculous. In any case, not the same stakes, but at the same time, very exhilarating. You know, it's currently, as a recording, 1:52 a.m. Eastern, and I'm hype. How could you not be hype after watching that game? I mean, damn, the Raptors really came out and stunned the Lakers. This, you know, was reminiscent of last year, one of the Raptors' best wins of the season, where the Raptors went to LA shorthanded. All right, guys were out. Actually, that one, no Kyle, no Serge. This one, no Fred, no OG. He got rested last second, okay. Gary Trent's still out, Chris Boucher's still out, all these other guys, you know. Who cares? Who cares? You know what I mean? This is one of those never underestimate the heart of a champion type games. And, you know, honestly, like, this game reminded me in so many ways of last season, not just the same result in Los Angeles and what the Raptors did to this team for the second time. But, like, it's just fun watching a team compete. Like, I don't know what it is, man. I think maybe, you know, it's like found money in a way, because again, I don't think a lot of people had expectations for this game, and if you did, congratulations. I hope you made some money on it, because you would have made some money on it. But yeah, it just feels really exhilarating to win these kinds of games. And the Raptors, man, I mean, they were, you know, it was starting off poorly. The Lakers really got out and were just hurting the Raptors on the inside. The Lakers had 38 points in the first quarter, and it felt like the Lakers could get to the basket whenever they wanted to. They were also making threes because they were getting to the basket and spraying it out. And the Raptors were scoring, but it felt like, you know, the Raptors just had nothing for them defensively. But the Raptors really locked it down, and I thought the second and third quarters for the Raptors defensively were excellent, holding the Lakers to 21 points, 25 points. And it was one of those performances where, like, I don't know, I didn't get ask Nick this question specifically in the postgame, but I thought that it felt like a game where Nick kind of felt his way through it. And of course, that's not new. I mean, of course, you know, that's a lot of coaching is adjusting on the fly. And that's something that Nick is really good at. But it felt like tonight, whatever plan the Raptors had for coming into this game, it wasn't a set plan. Because what you saw were multiple guys coming in and out, Raptors playing the matchups really well, and not your usual rotations, right? Not like, okay, so Kyle's going to play from this minute to this minute, and then he's going to come out, then these other guys are going to come in, and maybe, you know, buy a couple of minutes. You know, you kind of have a general sense of what the Raptors rotation looks like. And maybe because the guys are out or whatever, but Raptors really kind of, you know, went by feel in this one. You know, like, it was like, okay, the Lakers have these bigs coming on the floor right now. When it's Montrezl Harrell, we want to have Freddie Gillespie on the floor. When it's Andre Drummond, we want to have Kem Birch on the floor. So depending on how they sub, we're going to sub the same way. And sometimes we're going to have Kem and Freddie on the floor at the exact same time because the Lakers have Montrezl and Drummond on at the same time. And they were matching them in a front court. Of course, the Lakers' size is a really, really huge advantage. That's probably their biggest advantage aside from, you know, LeBron and AD. It's just the Lakers' size. They have size across the board. So, you know, the Raptors had to manage that part. But it was also sort of like, okay, things on the fly. So Malachi's not doing well. Okay, Malachi had 0 points, 0 of 7, was really bad. A real rookie game for Malachi after, you know, what had been a really good month of April for him. Honestly, he should be in consideration for Rookie of the Month for the Eastern Conference in April. He put up like 13, 4, and 4. That's not bad. And what else? I mean, you know, the Raptors, you know, late in the game, in the fourth quarter, the guys were struggling again. So Nick made the call and brought some of his main guys in early. You know, Bembry played a lot. You know, I think Bembry probably would have played anyway because Fred's out, so they need a bench ball handler. But because Malachi had been struggling, basically Bembry went from the backup ball handler, well, basically went for third string to in the rotation tonight because Fred was out, and then into essentially the starting lineup because he closed out the second quarter the first half and the second half in Malachi's spot. And so it was a good coaching job, but really the best part about it was just watching two of your main guys cook. Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam were superstars tonight. It was so much fun to watch. Pascal finishing with 39 points. He had one free throw at the end there to get it to an even 40. Couldn't do it. That's okay. I don't really care. 39 still pretty good with me. And then 37 from Kyle Lowry. I mean, these two were just ridiculously good on all levels, carrying this team. I mean, what else can you really say? First off, with Pascal, you know, like, what is going on? It's impossible to predict this man's performances from game to game. Because last night, I was, you know, ripping the guy. Not even ripping the guy. I was just critiquing him because he didn't play well, right, against the Jazz. You know, 0 assists, didn't score the ball well, like 7 of 18 or something like that. Didn't get to the free throw line, all this other stuff. Like, it just wasn't looking good. Defensively, it wasn't looking good. Tonight, totally different performance. I think really what comes down to Pascal's performances are really, like, four things really come into it, right? I think number one right now is energy. Does he have energy on a night-to-night basis? And energy is going to waver, right? I don't know, man. Maybe Pascal slept really well tonight. You know, maybe they got to take that mattress with them or something. But, like, it's hard to determine where his energy is going to be at from game to game. Because it's night and day when he has energy and when he doesn't. Which is probably the same for all of us, quite honestly, right? I mean, like, I'm sure there's some times where you're just like, I don't know, man, get like 5 hours of sleep and for some reason and you're just like dragging the next day and you're not good at work. Like, luckily you don't work with millions of people watching and millions of people commenting. In any case, though, I think number one is energy, right? And today Pascal was super energetic. The way he was attacking, the way he was guarding, I mean, he got up to block AD. He really went at AD, honestly, man. He thoroughly outplayed AD, which I might have to add, has been now three straight times this has happened, okay? I'm just saying, okay? Last time the Raptors were in Los Angeles, against the Lakers, similar results. In any case, I think that's one. I think number two is, like, how much size is in the middle, right? Because I think, especially, not just size in particular, in terms of, like, which, how much rim protection is on the floor, but specifically, which way do the Lakers or do the other team want to guard? Are they going to send double teams to Pascal? Because there's some teams that will play Pascal one-on-one because they feel confident. And the Lakers tonight were one of those teams. They're going to put AD on Pascal, and they're going to say, okay, try to beat AD. Listen, AD is a sensational defender, and I'm sure he has the capacity of full health to guard to guard Pascal, but he did not tonight. He was not equipped to do it tonight, and Pascal torched them in every single way he wanted to, getting to the basket, getting to the mid-range, hitting the three, getting to the foul line, blocking him as well, man. I mean, like, man, Pascal was excellent in that matchup, but mostly single coverage. There was not a lot of double-teaming with Pascal. If anything, the Lakers double-teamed Kyle, you know, and blitzed him on the pick and rolls and stuff like that. But, you know, I think when you play Pascal single coverage, Pascal's going to really find a way to score most times. There's only, like, a very small handful of matchups, like Bam Adebayo or whatever the Celtics voodoo they did towards Pascal. Like, that's it. That's it, right? Like, Pascal can get his one-on-one. Even if he's struggling, you got to double-team him because he's really good one-on-one. And then I think another factor, number three, is just, like, how decisive is Pascal? Right, you know, when he catches the ball, is he making an instant move, or is he gonna dribble the ball like six times, face up the basket, dribble, maybe lose his dribble, then have to repost a little bit, then kind of get into the middle, you know, the help comes, and by that point, it was late in shot clock, you had to take a shot. Like, you know, I think Pascal was so decisive tonight. One thing that was great to see tonight was just Pascal playing that two-man game with Kyle Lowry. First off, Kyle assisted Pascal seven times. And Pascal assisted Kyle three times. That's 10 assists. That's 10 buckets just between the two of them. The Raptors only had, like, how many buckets did they have on a night? Like, 42? Yeah, that's a quarter of your team's offense just assisted by those two guys alone. Never mind those two guys getting their own shots, okay? That was sensational to watch. But I also think that one of the things that worked really well was Kyle was able to work the pick and roll with Pascal. And with Kyle being such an effective scorer, especially tonight, the Lakers were setting, you know, aggressive traps towards him on the perimeter. And so that allowed Pascal to sort of slip. Kyle would find Pascal in that mid-range area, and he would just take one dribble, maybe even just two steps, and just float that thing in. And that's, it's a tough shot for a lot of players, but that's a shot Pascal really loves to hit. Like, don't forget, Kyle and Pascal have had chemistry literally since day one. Like, literally. I remember doing a story on Pascal, like, way, way back, like 2018, those was like 10 games into his most improved season. I was already writing about him as a most improved candidate, and it's like one of my first features, one of the first times I went down to the arena to talk to players, and I talked to Pascal about the thing, because I wanted to talk about sort of the specifically the angle with him and Kyle, because back then they used to connect a lot on transition plays. And one thing that I found was really interesting in my research was Pascal Siakam's first career basket. No one remembers this. This was against the Pistons in 2016. I believe this is one of those games where JB made Andre Drummond bite five times on his pump fake, at least. I think JB might have had like a 30 and 20 game or something. But Pascal is making his NBA debut as a rookie, and Pascal Siakam's first career basket, assisted from Kyle Lowry. I think Kyle drove and found Pascal for a little hook shot. So literally his first ever basket was from Kyle. And he's always had chemistry from Kyle. Because listen, Kyle's always going to play with guys who are skilled, who are, you know, quick bigs. And, you know, they played at a really high tempo today. And yeah, I mean, I just thought that they worked really well. You know, one thing I asked Nick after the game was just, that two-man game worked really often. You know, I mean, essentially asking him, like, yo, why don't you do this more often? Because a lot of the times, you know, Kyle will get his offense, and then Pascal will get his offense, and, you know, the two circles don't form a Venn diagram. And, you know, what Nick said was very smart, was just, you know, a lot of times, if you're going to play pick and roll, sometimes you're not going to be able to scream with your four-man. First off, sometimes you're not going to be able to scream with your four-man because, like, maybe your five's not getting guarded, right? That's important. But in any case, sometimes you don't want to screen with your four because, you know, teams will switch a lot of those advantages. So there's not necessarily an advantage to be had in the pick and roll. Maybe you can attack the ISO, but that's still an ISO at the end of the day, even if it's against a mismatch. But today, Pascal was, because the Lakers play so big, Pascal playing the four, that still brings up AD or, you know, who do you want? You know, Markieff Morris or Montrezl Harrell. Like, those guys are going to be involved in the pick and roll. They're going to come up and trap Kyle. And then that little pocket pass was there. Kyle found Pascal multiple times. I mean, listen, you know, Pascal hit some threes as well from Kyle. It was great to see. The two-man chemistry between the two of them was sensational. But it was just great to see for Pascal in particular because, like, you know, this is... Okay, I'm not expecting Pascal to average 39 points and 13 rebounds with 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, okay, against Anthony freaking Davis, an all-NBA player. But what I'm saying is that, like, I think this is a nice reminder of what Pascal can do, right? Because this is what it looks like when everything's going together. And then, by the way, the fourth thing I didn't mention with Pascal is his jumper hitting, which, I mean, that might as well be the number one thing, too, because tonight, Pascal, 4 of 8 from 3, you know, hitting a bunch of mid-range jumpers as well, got into the paint, kind of faded away. Those are paint shots, but they're kind of, they're jumpers still. And Pascal's hitting all of those tonight. And so, those are the four factors, really, right? Is he energetic? Is he making decisive moves? Is the defense setting doubles? And is Pascal hitting jumpers? And if he's doing all four like he is tonight, he has the ability to be this good. And he was excellent tonight. And of course, you know, you could say, well, the Lakers, you know, occasionally defensively, you know, they weren't this and that. Man, okay, I get it, right? But it's like every single game. It's not like teams play Pascal every single game like it's the NBA Finals. But yeah. Pascal was great tonight, man. I'm very happy for him. Rooting for him, absolutely. And you know, who knows, man, next game he might disappoint again, or he might do this again. You just don't know. But you know, in the scope of sort of evaluating those four things about Pascal, just evaluating Pascal's performances, just think of those four things. Are those four things applicable? And if they are, that might explain a lot of what's going on with Pascal. Kyle was incredible, man. Just such a great leader. I thought his confidence from the start of the game was excellent. Really, really pushed this team and just set the tone for them. And it just kind of, like, I think one thing that you miss from this season is just having one guy every single night that you look at and it's like, all right, that guy's ready to go. That guy's going to go. That guy's going to play hard, and we're going to follow that man, right? And, you know, there's been games where it's been Kyle. There's been games where it's been, you know, Fred. To be honest, I don't remember that many games where it's been Pascal. I'm sure there's been one or two. But that's kind of Kyle's role. And Kyle played it beautifully tonight. He was so confident, man. There was a number of difficult jumpers that Kyle hit tonight, man. Super contested. But, like, he got great elevation in his legs. I think the night off, you know, not playing against Utah, being rested there, I think definitely helped in this situation. Kyle looked very fresh. And then, whatever, if you want to say the motivation from the Lakers not trading for him, I mean... You know, that's cool, man. I mean, listen, man. Listen, the Lakers really might be in the play-in tournament, and Kyle might have been the reason they got there, which is very, very funny to me. It's very delicious on multiple levels. But anyway, 37 and 11 from Kyle. It just, you know, I think one thing that was super important was just every single time the Raptors were in a bit of trouble, because the Raptors actually had double-digit lead for a lot of the game, honestly. But the Lakers were threatening a little bit, and honestly, Kyle just responded so many times. Like, the Lakers cut it to 9, which isn't that bad, but still, I mean, listen, you know, you don't look at this Raptors team and say, well, this is a team that you can't close, that's going to close you out. Like, you know, but Kyle came in tonight, was great, and hit a number of threes, made a number of plays, 11 assists, only one turnover. The scoring, everything was great, man. The trash talking, he got a 4-point play, everything, man. Everything was going for him, man. It was great to watch. And then I just like that the Raptors got contributions off the bench. You know, the Lakers, they got contributions off the bench. They got a good bench. I mean, listen to who had off the bench. Markieff Morris, who's very solid, even though he didn't score. Thought he played a good game. Kyle Kuzma, great game. 24 points. He's going to get the Gerald Henderson Award. Montrezl Harrell was a very capable big coming off the bench. Energy. You know, Talen Horton-Tucker, pretty good, honestly. You know, even though I want to call this man Tim Hortons. Like, I kind of understand why the Lakers didn't trade him. I mean, I wouldn't have done that. I don't think I would personally waste one of LeBron's prime years. Honestly, he's in year 18 or 19 or whatever it is. You don't want to waste those. It's almost a crime against basketball to waste prime LeBron years by not trying to win, not doing everything you can to win. But in any case, I understand, because Talen Horton-Tucker is very talented, man. He's, you know, 14.7 assists, you know, tricky ball handler, gets into the paint, can't hit the outside shot too, but I like his ability to create downhill. Like, I get it, right? But the Raptors got contributions off their bench for once, okay? Freddie Gillespie, 11 points, 7 rebounds. Great game for Freddie. And there were moments where you're like, okay, you know, maybe a lack of lift on, you know, sometimes his efficiency seems a little bit low, but he got a lot of his own rebounds. And I like how much space he takes up. That's one of the things where he's just very strong. Like, there's one play where he caught the ball in transition. I think Drummond kind of jumped at him. And then kind of, you know, another guy came over and helped. And Freddie was just in the paint, keeping his pivot foot, even though guys were leaning on him, resisted the travel, and eventually just, you know, threw up his preferred left-handed hook shot, which went in. You know, that was nice to see. But yeah, the 5 offensive rebounds, that's great, man. The Lakers only got 1 offensive rebound off the bench. The Lakers only had 7 offensive rebounds in the whole game. And Freddie Gillespie had 5 by himself. That was great to see. I mean, showed him pretty good hands. Honestly, he had a really long hook shot, like almost Pascal Siakam-esque, because, like, you know, whatever, there's like soft baby hooks and things like that, but like a hook shot from 10 feet is just not easy to make, and Freddie you know, made one off a pick and roll there. Look, the Raptors obviously were driving a lot from the perimeter, and there was a real emphasis on getting the ball to their mans in the dunker spot. So whether that was Pascal, whether that was Ken Burch, whether that was Freddie Gillespie, honestly at times it was, like, you know, Bembry as well. Bembry makes some really nice cuts, but Freddie was really good in his role. Speaking of Bembry, Bembry was excellent. I thought he was an unsung hero tonight. Plus 15 off the bench, 14 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, 3 steals. The only mistake he made was off a really nice read where the Raptors got the Lakers to swing the ball around, and Bembry was able to make a really, really sensational read. Skipping one of the Lakers' shooters and rotating straight to the corner, and then he cut off the pass. He gambled really well, and he got the steal. Now, in his process of getting the steal, of course, his momentum was carrying him out of bounds, so he had to throw the ball back in, and even though he could have thrown it to the guy who was closer to the basket, he decided to try to throw it further down court to get the Raptors in transition. That led to a turnover, and the Lakers got a putback. I think Drummond got, like, a layup or something like that, but Bembry then immediately made up for it by driving into the teeth of the defense and dunking, right? Not easy. Listen, the Lakers got lots of size in the middle, and you say what you want about some of these guys defensively, like, you know, they were good. In any case, though, Bembry was super important because Flynn had a really tough night, you know, 20 minutes, 0 for 7, mostly taking jumpers, you know, wasn't really doing much defensively as well. So they needed Bembry, and Bembry came in and gave them great, great minutes, man. I mean, his first shift made 2 cuts where he got and one opportunities at 6 points right on the board. And he was just great throughout. And then, you know, his secondary ball handling was very important. His defense was very important. I think having a little bit of size at that guard position, you know, especially in this matchup against the Lakers, you need it. You really do need it. And I think Bembry came in and gave them some pretty good minutes. Again, even with Caruso or these other guys, or, you know, Horton Tucker, like, those guys are big guards. Caruso's 6'4". He's become super jacked, which is, he looks really weird. And then Tim Horton Tucker, Alex Caruso kind of looks like if Adam Silver checked himself into a game. But anyway, Tim Horton Tucker, like, he's also like 6'4". Like, he, you know, he's physical too. He's got long arms. Like, you kind of needed some size. I thought Bembry really came in and gave them a huge, huge push. And so that was kind of enough. And, you know, they got whatever they got from Utah and Rodney Hood. I mean, Rodney was actually solid. I mean, it was mostly in the first half, but I like what Rodney gave them. I like what Utah gave them as well. And Nick Nurse clearly liked what Utah gave them because he closed the game with Utah. And, you know, you need a lot of trust if you're going to close a game. And, you know, whatever. Maybe you could say, well, OG's out, so you need somebody at that small forward position. But, yeah, Utah came in, gave them some great minutes. I think even Stanley came in and gave them some great minutes. But Utah, you know, gave them some scoring, hit a 3 in the first half. And then in the second, you know, his second shift, I mean, it was the fourth quarter, and the Lakers were making a bit of a push. They seemed to be figuring a couple of things out offensively, but Utah had a putback, you know, after the Lakers got a block. I think Utah, you know, was Johnny on the spot, got the loose ball, and sort of threw up a little shot that banked in. That was great to see. And then another one where he got fouled driving to the basket, and he split the pair of free throws, but just a little bit of that extra scoring. Like, again, I'm not asking for a lot off the bench. I don't think Nick is asking for someone to come in and be, you know, six man like Lou Will 2015 style. Like, no, they don't have that player. They don't expect that kind of production, but they just need something. And it's, the thing is, the offense is going to produce enough for guys to be able to do things within their skill set. Like, Freddie Gillespie can make a layup. If he can, he just really needs to read when to cut, when to present himself, when to flash upwards and receive the pass. You know, Yuta Watanabe can do things offensively. He just needs to actually shoot the basketball. And Rodney Hood, you know, he's going to take shots and eventually he'll make them. And tonight he did, you know, make a couple of plays tonight in the first half especially. So just a nice team win. I feel really good, really energetic about it. Again, it's 2 a.m. now. And yeah, it was just a fun game. And again, it's just nice to see Kyle and Pascal do what they did. Really, really good performance. And for the Lakers, I mean, I'm just worried about this team. I don't really see... Like, AD doesn't look right. I've watched a couple of games since seeing AD come back. The Raptors usually will send doubles at AD. They've done that quite a bit. But it didn't even double AD that much. They kind of covered him in single coverage, and it was the right call. He didn't look physically right. Settled for a lot of jumpers, which, you know, when the Lakers play big like that, he's gonna have to take a lot of jumpers because, like, there's not a lot of space to drive if Drummond's going to be cluttering the paint. And then LeBron, I mean, of course, LeBron's sensational, but this is not a good LeBron performance by his standards, man. He hit some outside jumpers, but wasn't really a factor driving downhill. You know, he picked out some passes, a lot of those in transition. 5 turnovers for 6 assists, that's not efficient in 28 minutes. And he left early with a sore ankle, which he literally just missed time with an ankle. So, man, I'm worried about this Lakers team. They've lost like 6 of 7. They're in a tie for, well, 5, 6, and 7 are tied. So technically they're tied for the 7 seed, which... Yo, that's the play-in game, man. And that's tough. You really don't want to lose, you know, anything could happen in a one-game setting. So I'm worried for the Lakers, but right now, though, I'm just happy for the Raptors, man. I mean, look, they just need some joy this season, man. I just feel so bad for them this year. Like, you know, I mean, of course, like, we complain as fans, but, like, it must be pretty hard as the players themselves. I'm sure they have high expectations. This franchise holds himself in really high regard, and... Yeah, it's been a disappointing year, but to see some of these games, man, to really show appreciation for some of these guys, for Kyle and Pascal, especially Pascal. I mean, Kyle gets lots of love. Let's be real. We love Kyle, right? And, you know, tonight's a great reason why. We should honestly put this stat line on somewhere on the Kyle Lowry statue. Like, just put it, inscribe it on the ankle that, you know, he beat LeBron's team. But, yeah, Pascal, man, especially with Pascal, he's had such a tough year. With sort of up and down and of course a lot of criticism, but I mean, sometimes you need to see it to believe it, and bro, he was excellent tonight. So in terms of your 3 stars from this game, I'm gonna go with Kyle Lowry as the first star. 37 points, 11 assists, 12 of 20 shooting, 8 of 13 from the field, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 41 minutes, excellent performance, super sharp, super confident, lots of swagger, lots of yelling at the crowd, great leadership. I loved everything about this performance from Kyle. Huge, huge shots, you know, great shot making, great passing, great defense, everything, man. This is why you want Kyle Lowry. Like, I can't believe the Lakers could have had a chance to have Kyle, and they said no. This is insane. It really is. He would be really, really important to that team. But, you know, that's that. So, in terms of your second start, that's going to Pascal Siakam. 39 points, 13 rebounds, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. 15 of 26 shooting, 4 of 8 from 3, 5 of 7 from the free throw line. I wish he made that last one to make it a clear 40, but, man, 39 is a sexy number. And, yeah, Pascal was excellent in all levels, man. Really thoroughly outplayed AD. AD had 12 points, so, yeah, Pascal was great. And then your third star, that's got to go to DeAndre Bembry off the bench. 14 points, 8 rebounds and assists, 3 steals, 5 of 8 shooting, 4 of 6 from the free throw line. I don't know what else to say. I like Bembry a lot. I really like Bembry a lot. He's been inconsistent in his short minutes, but tonight he got to play more minutes. And you get to see, I really appreciate smart players. And Bembry is a very, very smart player. And he's very, very useful. And the Raptors have him under contract for next season for like $2 million. Probably keep him. There's your Gerald Henderson award. I'm going to go with Kyle Kuzma. 24 points for him. 6 of 11 from 3. Largely, I gotta say, Jalen Harris, man, lost this man repeatedly on threes, and that's just not good, because, yo, Kuzma can shoot, and the rest of the Lakers weren't even that dangerous from three, but Kuzma was very, very good, and, you know, some of that is you look at a rookie and you capitalize, but Kuzma really took that chance, so that does for the podcast. I know some people might be disappointed, because they're like, yo, we wanted a slander pod or whatever. Listen, man, the Raptors' record is 27-38, man. As much as we want to make fun of the Lakers, like, let's have some, you know, when the Raptors play well enough to get to that point, you know, I think they will deserve it. And I do appreciate it, though. I think a lot of people obviously have great enthusiasm for it. You know, it speaks a lot to, like, Assad and sort of the energy he brings and how funny he is and how, like, cutting he can be. But, yeah, you know, I would just say that, you know, we'll have chances next year, of course. And to be honest, man, I mean, what am I going to do? Are we really going to be clowns and try to, you know, do all that 11 games under 500, let, you know, we'll have chances. In any case, though, thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, everyone, for supporting the podcast. Subscribe to the Raptors Reaction Newsletter. I'm dropping a link to it in the podcast description. And the Raptors have a day off in L.A., well-deserved, and they'll get back at it against the Clippers on Tuesday. So I'll check back in then. Thank you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.